Tanzina Vega here with you on The Takeaway. And it's back to school season across the country. But for thousands of migrant children being held in government shelters, there's a big question of what schooling looks like and who will pay for it. Most of the children are detained in Texas, and in several school districts there, teachers and administrators had plans to bring them bilingual teachers and laptops, basically making the detention centers more like actual schools. But last week, the Texas Education Agency came out against those plans, saying they shouldn't use state funds to pay for kids in federal custody. Any teachers who wanted to help out would have to volunteer or get funding elsewhere. Sally Ho is an education reporter for the Associated Press, and she's been covering this story. Sally, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So the federal government already requires that the facility provide a certain number of hours of education every day. Tell us what's actually happening and whether or not they're meeting that expectation.
Well, I started by contacting public school districts in 61 cities where we know that the federal government has, through its Office of Refugee Resettlement, has these contracted migrant shelter operations. And when we heard back, most of them had said that, you know, they really deferred to the law, which is that the federal government has the responsibility, because they are in custody, to provide, according to their standards, 6 hours of structured learning time in all the four core subject areas, and would be provided by whoever the operator is and through their care providers. And that's important because it says nothing about a certified teacher or what's required in the actual quality of education that they expect or outline. So it's really case by case. Some of these are in the major Southwest Keys facilities. They're standalone and they're sort of separate operations. And then in other cases, it might just be maybe a handful of children in a Catholic Charities foster care home or a sort of community-based foster care center. So the children are brought there and they live there. It's a residential facility. And then at some point of the day, they get 6 hours of the structured learning time that's supposed to be a separate experience compared to their living quarters.
So in Texas, you looked at Brownsville and San Benito, which both have large facilities for migrant kids, and they both plan to send teachers to the shelters this fall. What was the thinking behind that?
Yeah, so there were 5 school districts that I'm aware of, all in Texas. They were among the 50 school districts that, you know, replied to us and said they actually were, you know, intervening themselves. And they had, you know, most of them had developed or were developing an arrangement to place their own certified district school teachers into the shelter facility. And then as a result, they would enroll those kids as if they were regular resident students and be able to recoup this per pupil funding through the state. Harlingen, Texas, the school district there, has done it actually since 2013. Fort Worth for about as long. In those cases, you know, it's just one classroom or one teacher for a limited number of children. And they really reported no issues recouping those dollars as part of the expanding their enrollment. And that per pupil funding, the formula is roughly about $6,000 per student for the whole school year. Most of these kids stayed days to weeks, and the average just over a month. But a new student would cycle in and out. So by that estimation, Harlingen probably received close to about $2 million in Texas taxpayer money for the migrant youth over the last 5 years.
So if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Sally Ho, and we're talking about the education that migrant kids get in federal custody. Sally, last week, the Texas Education Agency sent out a letter to those school districts saying that no state funding could go towards kids in federal custody. What's your sense of that?
That's right. Shortly after my story ran, they had sent a letter to every single school district declaring that this arrangement was, in their words, unallowable double funding. And a spokeswoman for the state education department had told me that they only discovered Harlingen had been doing this for all these years after other school districts had asked them this summer if they could also do it. The state had previously said that it was voluntary, has always said that it was voluntary for a school district to teach in a migrant shelter. But over the weeks that I've been in communication with them in reporting my story, they would not address this funding issue that had surfaced and when I had asked them about it. Now the state says, you know, we've warned Harlingen, they're not allowed to do this anymore, but they're not going to try and recoup some of that money. any of that money. Southwest Keys tells me that they're evaluating how and if they'll continue that partnership, but that they simply don't have enough money to afford the full-scale public service school district education services that they had already planned for the new school year, even though they get paid by the federal government to provide educational services in addition to housing and caring for these children. So the schools would have and had been providing certified teachers, in some cases bilingual services, special education services, textbooks, counseling, laptops, I mean, all of those things that you would expect in a public school experience.
And Southwest Key, just so folks who may not be familiar with it, is the same place that was housing a lot of these kids that were coming across the border with their parents recently. They operate 26 shelters for migrant children, and their vice president of educational services said that they do provide schooling to their kids. They were looking to build a relationship with local school districts, in part to get more resources, but more importantly, so that kids can get credits and transfer them to other schools when they leave.
We should be working to come together and to make decisions for the benefit of young people, to help them to have this ease of transition into our communities.
So what happens now, Sally?
The San Benito superintendent, he's told me that he's already scrapped the entire program because they just simply cannot afford to do this voluntarily. And he's also said that he's very disappointed and surprised that the state is no longer allowing the existing procedures that allowed Harlingen to do this. So the superintendent had said that he had been working with the Texas Education Agency for the past several months to create this program, and that they never suggested that this would not be allowed until that letter came out last Friday after the school year had already begun. And so now his teachers, his staff, his 19 teachers, the 500 computers and laptops, the textbooks, the administrators, I mean, they're all just being absorbed into the rest of the district. And, you know, they said that they feel strongly that they were doing the right thing morally and in their interpretation legally, but that, you know, they really just said we have to respect the state and it's out of our hands.
Sally Ho covers education for the Associated Press. Sally, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.